Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Boom. Back in effect, episode 129, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
I'm good, man. I can't really complain, dog. You know, maxing, relaxing, taking some shit in.
Yeah, working, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely doing that. Definitely working, bro.
We don't stop in the apocalypse.
Nah, not at all.
You know what I'm saying? This shit don't, like, niggas say that and it's like funny, it's like a meme or whatever. Like, oh, it's the end of the world, bro, it's apocalypse. This shit don't feel apocalyptic to me.
Nah, I think it feels more like restrictive, not like, oh man, like the end of the world is coming, I'm about to brawl, like, you know what I mean?
Right, we not out in the streets with like the shoulder pads with the spikes in them and shit, you know what I mean?
Until we dress like the Road Warriors, I'm not really worried about apocalypse.
It's not an apocalypse until niggas dress like the Road Warriors, you start putting the black face paint under your eyes. Like, this shit is like real regular. It's like, oh, you know, Trader Joe's is crowded.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit not no real apocalypse.
No, I mean, to be for real, like, isn't gas supposed to be like crazy high in the apocalypse? Gas like super cheap right now.
I keep hearing my car driving friends keep saying that gas is mad low.
Yo, it's really affordable right now.
Like, oh, niggas supposed to be fighting wars over gas and like water and shit like that. We over here drinking like bottled water still and chilling.
Dog, like if there's any time to buy a Hummer, like now's the time to buy a Hummer, dog.
Fill super that bitch cheap. Up.
Yeah.
This key, that shit don't never go under 50%.
Exactly.
Keep filling that bitch up. Dog, I went on a taco run earlier. And I got guacamole and tacos. You can't go on the taco run if it's the real apocalypse.
Nah. It's not a taco run time in the apocalypse, dog.
Hey, I threw my hoodie on. I threw my mask on. Looked like I was going to rob the joint.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Three weeks ago, Pop would have pulled the pistol on me when I walked in.
Yeah.
But instead, I came in black mask, hoodie on. And Pop was like, hey, how you doing? You know what I mean? It was all good.
Gotta kill witnesses because John Beard sticking out.
You know what I'm saying? Had the beard coming out under the mask. You know what I mean? Pop, 3 weeks ago, Pop would have been terrified.
Exactly.
Like, oh shit, it's going down. This nigga who comes in here and smiles every day, now he's gonna rob me. But he understand the corona is out here, so niggas gotta have masks on.
Yeah, folks out here rocking the bandanas, like I almost threw the B up to the wrong person and shit, like...
Niggas is unintentional gangbanging out here. Dog, I've been seeing niggas with like, I feel like I brought it up on the last episode. I've been seeing niggas with like the Supreme masks on and shit. I'm like, where y'all get that from? I know Supreme ain't doing no drops. Y'all niggas, y'all not still, y'all buying that shit resale or eBay?
Yeah, there's actually the boy who, I have this hat. It was made by, I can't think of dude's name now, but I mean, it's a custom joint. It's a, like, you know, like a like the wide brim joints. It's an Indian joint by company's called Thunder Voice Hat Co. I think that's what it is.
Word.
And he started making masks and selling them to support like the Navajo Nation, and I was gonna cop. And dog, his drop was like 10 minutes. That joint sold out, dog.
Ooh, shit.
I was like, damn, man, I was going to support, like, but now, like, the crazy thing was the hat I bought, like, the size for, like, my fitted hats and the size for this joint ain't exactly the same.
It's different, yeah, yeah.
So, I was like, damn, like, this joint's a little tight on me, so now it's just, like, hanging on my wall as art, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's, listen.
Hey, look, it's one of one, so it counts as being art, yeah.
Dude, I can't wait till when we drop in merch that, like, that just sell out mad quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just have some ill shit that just niggas like have to buy.
Yeah, dog.
I felt like good making them tapes. You know what I mean? Like the memorabilia joints.
Oh, absolutely.
And they sold out. It took them, you know, 2 weeks. You know what I mean? But they sold out. good fucking
doing big
feeling.
Things, dog. Yeah, oh, definitely, dog. Anytime you can have something that's like essentially exclusive and that shit sells out, like, you know, like, all right, well, folks is fucking with it. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
People still, I had somebody inbox me and they was like, yo, is there any more? And I was like, nah, yo, they sold out. And he's like, yo, can you dub me one? I was like, dude, it's like 95 out this joint.
Right?
Nigga want a dub of this shit?
You about to take a little piece of paper and like ball it up and put it in one of the other cassettes.
Right, man, I keep them shits on deck. You know what I'm saying? Like, keep the cassettes on deck. That shit,
got to, dog.
That's a good fucking feeling.
Definitely, like,
yeah. You gonna pay me to dub this shit? That's when what I was doing as a young boy.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, for real. Yo, dog, what I realized too, like, you know, doing this like documentary shit, and I'm like sitting here editing all this shit together. Yo, I really edit like I used to write rhymes. Like, I'm not sure exactly how you write rhymes. I mean, I've seen you write rhymes, but like, I don't know exactly how you, but like, when I used to write, I'd write a couple lines or whatever. Then I'd read over those lines like, you know, 100 fucking times to then get the next line, right?
Right.
I edit the exact same way, yo. Like, I edit together the first couple pieces, and then, like, I'll watch that shit 100 times to see where I want to go next. And, like, I realize, I'm like, wow, like, that worked for, like, you know, 16 bars. I don't know how this shit gonna work for, like, a 45-minute documentary,
yeah,
dog.
40 minutes of visual. Yeah, yo.
My eyes might be bleeding by the time I've rewatched it 100 times.
Jeez, that shit, yeah, I've also been dipping my toe into video editing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I put out, like I mentioned earlier, I put out a remix tape, Memorabilia, maybe like 3 weeks ago. But then at the top of this week, I put out Spares, which is just unreleased remixes that didn't make it to Memorabilia, but also some that I've had in the tuck for a while. And I've been just in the, I made a promise to myself at the top of this year that I was going to become more competent with like the visual side of creating content. So I've been just making like videos, you know, to accompany the remixes. That shit is mad fun, yo. Like putting together, like editing together video.
I never
thought it would be. It kind of gives me, it's like approaching the feeling that I get when I make beats. You know what
Word,
I mean?
Like I can see that.
Sampling and splicing stuff together.
Yeah, I like it in the sense of like, I'm essentially watching something be created like on a long term too, like on a long run. I'm essentially watching something become a story. You know what I mean? I'm almost watching it be born as I go along.
Yeah.
And having like the control over it is really cool.
Yeah, I want to get more into like the theory of visual storytelling.
Word.
You know what I mean? I put up a video. I took the film La Haine, which is like a classic 90s film, beautiful film shot in black and white. And it's based in France. And it's about these youngins that live in the projects. And the police are like harassing them, chasing them and shit. And I had a remix of Nas's song Shootouts. So I spliced together clips from La Haine to line up with Shootouts. So when Nas says, you know, the police chasing niggas through the projects, I spliced in the video of them, like a clip of them running from the cops. And there's one scene where this woman, it looks like real ominous. This woman has a gun and she passes through the frame. She just like slides through. So it's like one scene where Nas says you can see his gun, and she like, I edited it so that, you know what I mean? She would slide.
She passes
there.
Through at the right time.
You know what I mean? So just trying to get like, it's kind of like learning a new instrument, you know what I mean? Just being able to communicate, learning how to communicate in a new medium.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, exactly. I think that's a big thing, is like being able to communicate a story in a different medium is a dope feeling. You know what I mean? And it like it itches like a scratch, excuse me, it scratches every itch of like creativity for me.
Right. I meant to ask you, I know you sent me some video that you've been working on. I made a note to myself to sit down with it tonight after we record this. But how's it been going? Like, you editing together this documentary?
It's going. You know, I'm learning new software too. When I originally started cutting together some stuff like a year or so ago, I was using a different kind of software. So I started using Final Cut Pro 10. And I mean, I like it. It's a lot of similarities. You know, a lot of it's drag and drop shit. I'm probably have like an actual edit of the documentary done by the end of this month.
Oh wow, the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Wow.
But like, who knows where we're gonna be at as far as like voiceover stuff, all that kind of stuff. But like, I'll have an actual like cut together version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm playing with dissolves and wipes and all that kind of shit right now. So there's a bunch of different ones in there. When we make the final copy, I want to be able to use like the same dissolves or wipes or whatever throughout the documentary. Not like, oh, there's a screen wipe here, there's a dissolve here, there's this, there's that.
Right, like a visual consistency.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I want to maintain a visual consistency through it. But like right now, I'm just playing with different ones to see like, oh, where do I, like what ones do I like? What ones fit the narrative best, if that makes sense? Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's coming along. It's, you know, it's an arduous process. I'm working on it for over a week. And at like 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
5 minutes of film you got.
Yeah, yeah. 5 minutes of film done. And I mean, but that's normal, I think. I think that's a pretty normal thing.
Yeah.
Of like, that's how it's gonna rock. Like, you're not gonna you're not gonna have a ton of film done. It takes a long time. Like, I mean, I spent maybe like 6 or 7 hours yesterday working on it. And, you know, that was probably about 45 seconds or so.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's a lot of like cutting down and then like dropping the audio here, doing this here, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just a lot of like minutia stuff. And then like every day after I edit and I go back in the next day, I end up cutting out like milliseconds here and there. So I'll end up cutting like 10 to 15 seconds off of it after each day.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because, you know, I like what I do is like when I sit down with it first, I sit down and I'll rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go, oh, you know what? That could probably get cut down a little bit. This could probably get cut down a little bit.
Right.
Like, this scene's a little long. Let me cut down, you know, let me cut down like just a second off of this. You know what I mean? And like, oh, this is a little winding here, blah, blah, blah. And then once we do like voiceover stuff, we'll probably have some blank space that'll end up having to get cut out anyway.
Right, right.
So,
yeah, because then once the copy happens and the voiceover happens, then you're shaping the story in a different way. You gotta,
exactly.
Yeah, there's like more stuff you gotta add or take away or just to, you know, make it like a fully fleshed out thing.
Yeah, I think it's gonna take like probably, I don't know, I don't even want to think about how many times I'm gonna go over this film.
Right. As the attention to detail that it requires to make a film. When I was younger and my primary creative outlet was songwriting, I was like, yo, I can cook up like a 16 bar verse, 8 bar hook or whatever, you know what I mean? I could make a beat, you know, all I need to do is put together 3, 4, 5 minutes of creativity. And that made sense to me. And I used to always look at filmmaking and writing a book as like impossible feats of creativity.
I feel that.
And it's ironic that now those are primarily the two areas,
outlets that you want to use,
that I want to be in. Like, I'm like, yo, we finna make a film. I'm working on some book stuff. And if it feels like I'm building the capacity towards being able to make both of those happen, which is interesting. Definitely.
Yeah, I think it's what I respect about it too is like I watch, dude, it's crazy too. As I sit, like I'm watching stuff and I'm like, oh, that was a jump cut. Oh, that's a, oh, look at that dissolve. That dissolve was dope. As I'm watching something else.
Right, right.
You know what
I mean? You know how the sauce is made.
Exactly.
Or at least you're learning how the sauce is made.
Yeah, I'm sitting there going like, oh wow, they decided to do a jump cut there. I might have smoothed that out a little bit. And you know, that's not like, oh, I'm better than these people doing stuff. It's just like, well, that's how my mind works. Like, you know what I mean?
And, right.
Or like I'm just watching stuff and I'm like, oh, it's cool. They got like the slow down shot here and the sped up shot here, mm-hmm. and like that's really cool for what they're doing and blah blah blah. Like I just think about like as I'm watching stuff now, everything reverts back to, and I think that's partially just how my mind works, of everything like reverts back to what I'm working on.
Right. Right.
So like I'll sit there and watch and I'm like, oh, that was dope. They did this. Blah blah blah. Like I'm watching a ton of like old No Reservations and like Parts Unknown stuff.
Rest in peace, Bourdain. Yeah.
Yes, rest in peace, Bourdain. Just because I love like the visual aesthetic that show had, or those shows had. So like I'm trying to really like see what their moves were and kind of like, oh, this is like the lane I want it to look like.
Don't that shit make you feel good like watching it too?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, yo. Somebody should do like,
yeah, they should, man.
that would be
really
fucking
dope.
Amazing. I'm gonna edit that out.
But exactly.
That shit is one of those shows, like the Anthony Bourdain joints is like something that I throw on when, like you said, just visually I'm real visual with like stuff that I watch. Narrative and like dialogue and stuff are kind of secondary to me.
Uh-huh.
I kind of absorb visual media like I absorb music, where like music is first and lyrics are secondary.
Uh-huh.
I'll put stuff on that just feels good visually.
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
and
that's
I just want it, you know, the way it's shot or whatever, the visual texture of it, I just want on.
I think that's what like draws me to Master and None season 2 so much, is how beautiful it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And like just little light plays that they do when like he's arguing with the Italian joint, and the Italian joint when they're like in that club, like she comes out to that club to see him or whatever, and his homie's like spinning, and like how they're lit, like he's lit like in blue and she's lit in red. And like, cause she's a little heated, and he's like, so I'm like, that shit is like so interesting to me, like how lighting is done, and all that shit is like that. Because again, it's an aspect of like visual storytelling,
right? And people, the average person may not even notice that, you know what I mean, or like articulate it, but you feel it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh, yeah, because it shapes how you, like, you know, there's all types of stuff like that, like in advertising, where it's like, oh, red is this, it does this, and blue does this, and blah, blah, blah. Like, or green does this for you, it does, the purple does this to the consumer. Mm-hmm. So, like there are specific things that you're like, people will target, and they're like, oh, well, this is what we want to do for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I was watching this thing, and they were saying how, like, department stores, like, you know how you go to department stores and they're always, like, changing them around, like, every 6 months or so?
Mm-hmm.
Part of that, like, from what I was watching this thing, it was, like, saying, oh, well, they do that purposely because people's eyes get bored. And so if your eyes are bored, you just, like... Like a store like Target, like you go there and it's like, oh, well, I know exactly what I want. I know where it is. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole point is to like make that shit almost like a maze for you. So you wander around the store longer and you buy more shit.
Keep you intrigued. Yeah,
exactly. So like it's a visual intriguing where you don't notice it. But part of it is specifically done for those reasons. That's why they'll change their logo every couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Because like they want to like, oh, well, it's a new, that's different looking, that does something different. Yeah. Like all that stuff triggers shit in our brain that we don't realize.
Right, switch it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Let's jump out. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, let's jump out, take a break, and come back and talk about Instagram, since we're we're all stuck in the house. And Instagram, it's crazy because Amazon ruled the world a month ago.
Absolutely.
Now fucking Instagram rules it. But yeah, we're going to take a break. We're going to jump right back in.
No doubt.
Boom, back in effect. So it's been this whole process of, like, you know, COVID-19 and the self-quarantine that's been happening here in the States. Multiple cities have put out do not go outside orders. They've ordered non-essential buildings or non-essential businesses to close up. So, like, everybody's home.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Everybody in their crib, dog.
Yeah, yo. So Instagram has kind of been like the savior, you know what I mean? Or at least something that's, like, kept us, like, entertained and occupied. D-Nice kind of set it off with his, I would say more so than anybody, with his like club quarantine DJ sets. And now everybody's doing this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's cool. I tweeted a while ago. It seems like a while ago because I've been in the house.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably
time means nothing, dog.
It's probably a week and a half ago where I said this shit. But this shit is cool, yo, because I have a lot of DJs and musicians in my, like, social media circles. So I'll be on live and one person will be spinning, playing, like, all psychedelic rock, or another person will be playing, like, all hip hop shit. Or I was on Instagram the other day and Easy Mo B was just playing, like, house records.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that shit, it reminds me, I tweeted this, it reminds me of when I first started going out clubbing in, like, the late 90s. And you would have, like, a room that was all techno.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. I remember the clubs being like that.
Like, we'd go to, like, Club Space back in the day. It would be, like, a hip-hop room.
Yep.
A drum and bass room. A house room. You know what I mean?
A reggae room.
Yeah, yeah, yo. Like, the girls are always in, like, the dance music rooms. Yep. And the hip-hop rooms was, like, a sword fest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
A sword fight sausage fest, however you say that shit. But this Instagram shit kind of reminds me of, like, a digital version of that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? And now producers and songwriters have taken to doing, like, the battles on IG.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it kind of it reminds me of, like how reggae, they do the sound clash.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how about two, that? I didn't even think about that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, two sound systems will battle and they'll just play all of their hits and battle against people. Last night, Liz and I were in the crib and we were watching T-Pain battle Lil Jon.
Word.
And that shit was fun. Like, you know, nothing beats, like, the club experience and being out in the mix or whatever. But that shit was cool, you know what I mean? Like, Lil Jon made a lot of fucking records that I didn't know he made.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And T-Pain, I fuck with T-Pain anyway, you know what I'm saying? And he was playing all his joints. And they were, like, in the crib, bugging out, having fun off of the joy of music. And, like, it was us and, like, 300,000 other people watching that shit.
Yeah, it's a shared experience.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It feels like old school, like how the radio used to be, too.
Yeah, kind of like that feeling of, like, when we was kids and, like, yeah, we might not have been, like, talking on the phone, but we knew we were all listening to Radioactive at the same time.
Right. Talk. I remember when Major Figures was on the radio.
Yeah.
And, like, they was up there with, like, Kev and, like, QDZ and them, and they was This Is State Property. It felt like the whole city was listening to that.
Yeah,
shit.
Exactly.
It
yeah.
felt like the whole city. Certain songs, I'm trying to think. Like I remember when Kev, it might have been Kev, played the Wu-Tang joint, the Rainy Days joint. Uh-huh. But like the remix to it, like the Teddy Pendergrass beat. Yep. If listening to that on the radio, it felt like everybody else in the city was like rocking with that shit.
Yeah, there was like event shit, like for radio. Like mm-hmm. there was event listening. You know what I mean?
Right.
When like new records would come out and you knew they was dropping, like dudes would be like, "Yo, I got, you know, like someone, oh, yo, I got, you know, fucking volume 2, blah mm-hmm. blah blah. I'll be playing it all day." Like that kind of, it was event listening. You know what I mean?
I remember Rand played like half of Busta Rhymes' first album on the radio.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because like Busta, everybody knew him through like Leaders of the New School and all of that shit, and he was jumping on like different people features, like the guest verses and shit, and it was like word that he was gonna drop a solo album. I remember Rand played, like it felt like he played half of that whole album. I know he played like Abandoned Ship, Wu-Ha and like all that shit. It felt like he played half of that shit. This Instagram shit now, it's like approaching that feeling of what it used to feel like listening to the radio. I feel like young people now have a different kind of shared experience, but that like in real time listening to new music on the airwaves and everybody else in your city rocking with it at the same time, that shit is like priceless. It's like a priceless feeling. And it's cool that, you know, people are dying behind this whole like disease and shit. People are scared. Absolutely. You know what I mean? It's cool that we get this. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah, I think
got
it's
nothing
important
to complain about with this shit.
Yeah, I think it's important. It gives people something. Like, it also gives some, like, so much of the day is just like getting by type thing. You know what I mean? Especially if, like, you're not working from home, really. Like, you're kind of just like home.
Right.
So much of the day is like, I'm just trying to get by, just, you know, finding something else to watch and shit like that.
Right.
This lends to like, oh, this is something to look forward to. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, like I'm getting ready to go to the club. I'm getting ready to go. This is something like to look forward. Like something you like, oh, I'm going to do this. This is like get you excited. You know what I mean? And that kind of, you need that right now when like a lot of like your day is like, it's the same thing, monotonous. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I never thought, because I work from home most days. You know what I mean? So even like working style wise and money wise, this hasn't really slowed up anything for me. You know what I mean? I lost bread with DJing. And if this thing lasts into April, like I have April gigs that are probably going to be canceled. And then I have some stuff into the summer, like light, you know, a couple things on the calendar into the summer that might get canceled if this thing lasts. But like my day to day bread and working style have not been affected. You know what I mean? But there's something psychological about knowing, we talked about this a little bit before we start recording, knowing that you can't go out.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I think that's it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
I think
know
that's a big thing.
My heart goes out to other people who, you know, like you said, like motherfuckers haven't worked, you know, in a month or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
3 weeks or some shit. There's no, you know, average person in America that can go 3 weeks without income. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, most people live check to check. You know what I mean? If not check to check, month to month. Dog. You know what I mean?
At my last 9 to 5, I remember this cat was the payroll guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And our gig, it was like, you know, more worker controlled than like the average job. You know, right after I got hired, I remember we voted for a pay increase for ourselves. You know what I mean? Just think about that. Like any job you've worked at where the workers could come together and be like, I think we should make more, without it being a strike or anything like that. Niggas just literally sat down and was like, I think we should make X amount as opposed to that. And then it just happened. And like your next check it was there.
Not at no gig I've ever been at, dog.
You know what I'm saying? So the environment was a little different. It was a, you know, a little more stable for people. Dog, this nigga who did our payroll fucked up the checks one day. Ugh. And niggas was supposed to get paid. If you, I think I had direct deposit, so I think my direct deposit used to hit on Wednesdays. And we were supposed to get paid that Friday. Yeah. Dog, niggas ain't get checks until the next Tuesday. It was a scandal.
Oh, yeah. Dog, I've been at jobs where motherfuckers, like, they fucked your paycheck up, like, they ain't pay your overtime or some shit like that. And people be like, yo, dog, I can't afford to not get my overtime. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, you got to cut me a check by Monday. Like, right. You know what I mean? Dog,
niggas was in there taking out advances.
Yeah.
Because from Friday to Tuesday, niggas was taking out advances on
their
check.
It's a long stretch, man. It's a long stretch if you ain't got it, dog. That's why I was telling folks, I mean to cut you off, but I said this the other day on Facebook. Like, I remember when the economy crashed a couple years ago, probably like 10 or so years ago, right? Mm-hmm. That's when all them payday loan joints started popping up. The title loan joints start popping up.
Yep.
Like, all that stuff, like, is kind of outlawed now a little bit. Like, you know, they can always flip shit. Oh, but do not be surprised if that shit start popping back up again.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, yo, you know, you're a little behind because of the Rona. Like, come get this advance on your next check. And now you paying 200% on your next check.
Oh, they got to join. I saw the commercial, I think, on YouTube where it's kind of like Cash App.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying? But they'll Cash App you your check in advance. Yep. And I'm like, I remember, like, the payday loan shit was popping around when we got out of high school.
Yeah.
Like, I remember getting one as a young boy, just being on some, like, dickhead shit. Like, oh, yo, you going to get, like, $300?
Yeah.
And just going to get one. You know what I mean? So, we, like, saw this shit firsthand. I'm looking like, yo, how many people, like, what's the catch in that? You know what I mean? You Cash Apping people or whatever it is, you advancing people money. What's the catch?
Yeah, you giving, like, yo, I'm giving like you need $100 to your next check. Well, here, but you got to pay back 140.
Right.
And it's like, because that's what.
Shark shit.
Yeah, I was going through a lawsuit and I was waiting on money. And, you know, I'm in stress. I'm hurting right now because I'm not working, that kind of shit. Like, well, you know, my back was all fucked up. Mm-hmm. It is all fucked up. But I asked my lawyer, like, yo, what's up with, like, one of those things that's like, oh, if you have a structured settlement, you need cash now. Like, they got that commercial that's like a jingle and shit.
Right.
And they were like, yo, listen, I'll be honest with you. We'll sign the paperwork. But, like, if you take, like, 10 grand from them, you can own 15.
Woo, shit.
And I was like, damn, for real? They were like, yeah, no
scam
joke.
Shit.
And they want that shit right away.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, wow. Like, I'm not trying to get involved in that. I did that shit as a kid. I got a Zales jewelry card. When I, like, you know, like 19, like, my credit was, like, still pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And they gave me, like, a $1,000 credit line. And, like, all I did was buy, like, a birthday gift from, like, my goddaughter type shit.
Oh, snap.
And so, like, they were like, oh, you can apply for a credit card. I'm like, all right, bet. Like, just do it. And her joint was, like, $120. And I was like, well, I got, like, an $880 left on this shit.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, you know, you can do, like, cash advances on this.
What?
And, like, dog, I'm going to tell you this, man. There's a couple nights when we had jaunted off to, Night on Broadway.
Crazy.
Yeah. And fucking Zales was paying for them lap dances, yo.
Dog, I definitely remember. I have a similar story. I remember my 21st birthday. I was thinking about it the other day. And I remember my 21st birthday. It was like a bunch of us.
Uh-huh.
And we all went to Night on Broadway. Dog, yeah. I swear you was like paying for niggas all night, yo. Like,
Zales, like, paid for y'all lap dances,
you
dog.
Know what I mean? And you was like young and doing it. I was like, damn, Josh is doing it, dog. I remember you definitely. I don't think I spent any money that night. I remember that shit.
Yeah, like I definitely was taking, but see, I didn't understand, like, you know, my mom ain't had no like credit education to give me either. So like,
yeah.
I didn't understand, like, you pay back like crazy amount of money when you do cash advances.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's, I didn't like, know.
Even worse than the general line of credit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You're getting like really like screwed in the end when you do that shit.
I remember my first credit card. You remember when Queen Latifah had the credit cards?
Yes, yes, I do.
I remember I was in the crib and a commercial came on Channel 57 and it was like, do you need credit? You need a credit card? You want to live your dreams? Get a Queen Latifah car. And I'm looking, I grew up on Queen Latifah. I remember.
Latifah would never leave me wrong.
I remember having a thought and being like, dog, if Queen Latifah said it's cool, this shit gotta be right and exact. Dog, I went out and got one of them cards. I ain't even do, this show you like how much of like a towny basic nigga I am. I didn't even go to like Center City or KOP and blow up that Queen Latifah card. Though I swear to God, they sent me that shit in the mail. I got on the C bus. I was probably like 18 or 19. I got on the C bus and went to Broad and Olney and I blew through that whole credit card. I was like buying Tim's and shit.
City Blue and Lady Blue too.
I ain't even like go on a date or anything. I just got fresh for me off of the Queen Latifah car. I blew that shit out in
Latifah had you stunting, dog.
Dog, I blew that shit out in hours, and I don't even know what clothes I bought. I was in the joint, just like getting shit off the wall.
I'm so happy I have like some kind of like credit, like knowledge now, and like a little maturity with money. Cause dog, if Amazon existed when I was like fucking 20,
right?
B, like my fucking whole, all my credit would be like, well, my credit's fucked anyway, but like I would have just been buying shit just to buy it. Cause I had anything. Like, I had imaginary money essentially.
Right. Right.
Amazon would have like killed me, dog.
It's messed up too, how, I don't know how other places work, but it's messed up in this country that, you know, you get young people and you're like offering them credit. People who don't even understand the concept or like their inner workings of the shit, and they can get credit cards easily. And it kind of like, I'm not saying it's like a conspiracy or anything, but it just saddles you with debt at a young age.
100%.
And the same thing happens with like the student loan thing. Of course, that's an investment, but that's an investment that society should be making in young people, not an investment that young people should be, you know, taking on themselves.
Oh, absolutely. I just had a friend tell me her summer class is like $1,200.
What? Really?
Just for this one summer class.
Cheap. For one class?
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, I mean, she's getting close to the end and shit like that, but like $1,200, man, like that's fucking insane.
Because our society looks at it as like a private endeavor that people should essentially pay for privately. You know, there's stuff like Pell Grants and shit like that. But a Pell Grant, if you go to a 4-year university, a Pell Grant ain't knocking no dent in that shit. Maybe it did when we was kids.
Exactly.
Ain't knocking no dent in that shit. What we really need, like, a change of perspective where we're thinking about it as, you know, as a society, we want a more highly educated populace.
Yeah.
So society foots the bill for the shit.
Yeah.
You know,
you want to invest in like the next generation coming up, because they're the ones who are going to carry, you know, everything, the economy, blah, 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 everything forward. Like, so you'd want people to be able to buy houses and do shit. So you shouldn't be saddling them with, like, you know, tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars debt.
Yeah. Fuck that shit.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, we can jump into, we're right at that point.
Yeah, to do another break.
Jump into break number two, and then you want to come back, talk some new music?
Yeah, we definitely come back, talk some new music. There's a ton of it this week.
Okay, word. Boom, right back at it. So yeah, you brought the idea of making this episode like more new music heavy.
Yeah.
A bunch of shit came out. So yeah, we can cool. just run right through it and talk about it.
I had a question for you. Did you and Liz do your Tootsie Slide TikTok?
The TikTok? You know, I was bugged out about that. I've been doing that dance in the crib since that shit came out. You know what I mean? And you know, we not know. We dance. We go to a function and do a little bop. Definitely. You know what I'm saying? We not too cool for that shit.
Nah,
you know what
not
I mean? But I don't be doing. I don't be doing no dances with instructions.
Nah. Well, listen, dog. Trust me. If you see a video of me popping up on TikTok, it's because my kids is here and we are bored out of our mind.
Right. You know? Real shit, like me and Liz may do a TikTok dance, you know what I mean? I download TikTok on my phone, you know what I'm saying? We might do it. If I had kids, we'd absolutely be doing a TikTok dance, because you know kids are like into that shit,
dog. Like my daughter been doing TikTok for like, not my youngest, Nala, been doing it for like a year or so. She always on that shit. So yeah, like she's like good at it too.
Right.
Yeah, like, dog, I'm at an age where I'm like, yo, I'm trying to have fun in life. And, like,
right.
If I'm going to have fun with my kids, and do like, listen, you're not going to catch me on my dolo doing TikTok dances.
Right,
that's
right.
Not. But, like, to have fun with my kids doing it, sure.
Hell
like,
yeah.
My whole aspect in, like, with me being a dad is, like, I like to keep my kids laughing and having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They'll remember that shit forever.
Exactly.
Like, yo, I remember, my pops was so fun. They'll remember that shit forever, yo.
Exactly. Especially when you like they don't live with you on a regular, like that kind of shit. It, you know, you want them to have fun. So
yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, if I pop up doing a Tootsie Slide, like, you know what I mean?
Don't say nothing.
Yeah.
Dog.
Still know, like, look, listen, you can still get the jukes, dog. So don't get it fucked up.
Get that Jooksie Slide. Talking shit. I did the whole like too cool for school shit when I was younger. You know what I mean? Like I didn't feel joyous or like fulfilled. I just felt like I was cooler than niggas. And that was like my thing.
And you know what I mean? Talked about this. I didn't even cut you off. You talked about this with like going out to events. Like I don't want to go to an event if I feel like I gotta be like ice grizzled up the whole time. I wanna go have fun.
Had a grizzly on and shit.
Yeah. I did that for a long time. Like, that's not something, like, I think that's for, like, dudes who just never did that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit's played out. You know what I mean? Niggas not trying. Niggas trying to have fun.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Nobody trying to be up in the function. If we come out of this corona shit and they let us back outside and you in the club ice grilling, jump off a roof, dog.
Yeah.
You didn't learn no lesson during this whole shit.
Well, unless you're listening to this new Conway and Alchemist record, then you're allowed to wear an ice grill the whole time. Like, you know what I mean? Because that's how this record make you feel.
Alchemist, really, I be peeping him on Twitter, and he'll just be on Twitter. He'd be like, yo, you know, he'll be bigging up, like, underground niggas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can tell that he's kind of peeping and like pulling inspiration from like the underground shit.
Yeah, you can tell he's still listening to music. There's people you listen to when they like produce or whatever, and you're like, oh, they're not listening to like what's going on.
Dog, Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, not because like, oh, they're not like completely aping that style, but just like, oh, they just don't know like what's going on nowadays. Mm-hmm.
And you could tell Alchemist is like keeping an ear to the street. I love Pete Rock to death. But Pete Rock really came on Twitter and was basically like, man, these young boys, they not chopping up no soul samples. They not flipping shit. And niggas was getting at him because it's like, dog, you not tapped in.
Yeah.
If you think niggas nowadays is not, you know, killing it on the beat shit or flipping the soul samples or whatever you looking for, you just not tapped in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Alchemist, you could tell he's like tapped in with the shit. And him and Conway, one of my favorite Griselda joints is the shit. What's it called? Like 95 Ghosts, one of them joints.
Yeah.
It's like Alchemist, Conway, and Westside. The first joint I heard Conway on, the shit with him, Westside, and Rock Marcy, where they like in Times Square rapping in the video.
Yep. Uh huh.
Those are like my top five, you know, like Griselda joints ever. And him and Alchemist are like.
Yeah, they got good chemistry. Really good chemistry.
Perfect fucking chemistry, yo.
He even got the double time joint on this joint with Calvin. Like,
yeah.
So it's a super hard record. Like, so if you look out there looking for, you know, that super hard shit, you don't want to listen to the Tootsie Slide. You know what I mean? Go listen to Lulu and you know what I mean. Put your Ice Girl on.
You already got a mask on.
Exactly.
You
know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Throw this record on, rob a nigga. Like, yeah. Just get it in.
Yeah, that's what I need. I need the Gucci ski mask like my man Westside.
Dog, they killing it. I want to hear Westside's new one.
Pray for Paris?
Yeah. I might, you know, get the advance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, how about that?
I don't know. Nigga, on NPR, I'm getting everything in advance now. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
Maybe. You know what I mean? I'm going to take it back and start bootlegging nigga shit. but dub it on tape. You know what I mean? Like, yo, you need that new West Side. Come to my crib.
Yeah.
I pass it to you out the window. You know what I mean? Because it's the corona.
Drop that joint out like, yo. Just lead a brand in the mailbox.
So I'm going to edit this shit out. I remember I was out South Philly, and this is when I was fucking with. This nigga, they whole crib looked like fucking Animal House. It was ridiculous. Dog, this nigga was hustling, and niggas would come to the crib and like call him.
Yeah.
And he would put the shit in the bag and like throw it out the window. Like, I'm like, what year is it? Like 88? Like,
exactly.
What fucking year is this, dog? That shit. I was looking around. I'm like, man, I'm trying to be on NPR in a few years.
I'm trying to get bagged in a dope house.
I'm fucking read. I'm like, I'm going to try to fuck with y'all niggas. Y'all young ass niggas. But the shit, the Alchemist and Conway shit is real live. And I fuck with the Drake shit. I wonder, cause he put this out. He put the war joint out a little while back. Like, is he gearing up to give us a whole tape?
I think so. I know he said he was recording when he did that interview with like Rat Radar. He was like saying he's like, you know, he's working on the album now. That was like Christmas time. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we're getting that drop soon.
Yeah, give us a joint, Drake. You know what I mean? We in the crib. He probably gonna wait.
Yeah.
He gonna wait till niggas can be back out at the club and drop like another like Nice For What or the Kiki shit. So niggas be in the club, electric sliding or whatever. Whatever the fucking dance is gonna be. This shit, the Tootsie shit is obviously made for TikTok.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? So
I mean, listen, Drake is nothing if not a master marketer, dog.
Dog. That motherfucker's strategic as hell, dog.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know what his zodiac sign is, but he's like a real strategic bull.
Yeah. He's October, so I don't know what, you know, I'm not sure exactly what that is.
Scorpio, maybe.
I think he is. Remember, he named the album Scorpion.
Yeah.
So he's a Scorpio.
Shit.
Also, Future dropped a new single. It's a Future song. Like,
it's mid.
Yeah, it's real mid. It's real.
Yo.
Mid. It's not. The beat is just kind of average, and
really,
you know, he's talking about activists. So I mean, like, you know, if you into that Future vibe, that'll work. I'm not a I'm not a I like Future. I do like Future, but I like Future when like the shit is like hit.
Yeah, he for me, let's be joking like that I want to be like Future Hive. But like Future got to be exceptional Future for me to really fuck with it. Like Future, I feel like there's certain artists, like their mid shit I can kind of get with because I love them so much. Like I can listen to a mid ass like Prince album. You know what I mean? It's like I love this nigga so much, like I can fuck with him even if it's just, you know, it's just okay. But Future, I feel like Future gotta be like, you know, like turn off the lights, like some like some live shit where I'm like, oh, this song is the shit. I can't fuck with just a regular Future song.
Yeah, and he's so hit or miss for me. And this joint's kind of a miss. But you know, we'll see. You know, maybe it'll grow on me. I doubt it though. It's just it's really kind of like it's really low energy. So like, I don't love super low energy Future.
Yeah, like you gotta give me something, yo.
If
like,
the beat's not super hitting, I don't like low energy Future.
Right, right. He could always link up with Drake again.
Listen,
we've been asking y'all niggas, like, yo, what a time to be alive too.
Right now. That shit would hit so hard. They probably waiting because they like a lot of people probably like, yo, I want to drop right when this shit over.
Yep.
So everybody playing my shit while they outside.
Yep. What if the Rona, you know, it go away, niggas got a vaccine, niggas back outside, and they drop What a Time to Be Alive Part 2.
Be the hottest summer ever, dog.
I might go to jail.
Dog, that might be the cure for the Rona.
Yes. Listen, the cure for the Rona, nigga.
I don't know.
A new Drake album and just vaccinate niggas. Yo.
Might be the cure for the Rona.
They got to figure something out for this shit.
Did you check out the new Thundercat record?
Not yet.
I haven't listened to the whole thing. It's a little long. You know, it's like 15 songs. You know me, dog. Like, that's...
After song 8, you look like tapping the clock.
I got through. Nah, I don't want to say got through because it's a super dope, super funky record. Mm-hmm. There's even like a song called Existential Dread, and that's like a funky kind of upbeat record. Like, so I mean, Thundercat is a super talented dude, and this is like a really, I feel like almost kind of happy listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know, like right now that kind of feels weird, but like it does make me feel like good listening to that record.
Right. Yeah, it's on my list of shit to listen to. I've been fucking with this guy. He's from London. His name's Wilma Archer.
Okay.
And he's like a multi-instrumentalist. He play a bunch of instruments. And he's a composer. His album, I'm going to fuck up the title. Hold up. His album is called A Western Circular.
Okay.
And it's really on some like, I don't want to compare him to Quincy Jones, but it's like on the like compositional tip. Yeah. It's like mad like strings and, you know, cellos and all kind of shit. It's like a beautiful record, but then he'll have like Doom rapping on shit like that.
Word. That you sounds know what I mean? Dope.
It's ill. The illest song on here is the joint. It's called Last Sniff. And it's just like this like beautiful like jazz tune, and it's like cello on it and like all these strings and like brass and shit, and Doom is just like spitting on that shit.
Word.
You know what I mean? So yeah, Wilma Archer, A Western Circular is really fucking good.
Yeah, that sounds dope. That sounds like, just like, dog, I don't know, man, like right now I'm in a vibe of like, I like just high art type shit, you know what I mean? Like just effort, like crazy effort sounding shit, just in the sense of like, oh, this sounds like they like thought about making this, not just like, oh, they just threw this shit out.
Yeah, this shit is really like, it's like all music is art, but this shit is like really like high attention to detail shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? This shit feels like I'm in a fucking gallery somewhere.
Yeah, that's the kind of feeling sometimes I want, you know what I mean? Like, I want to have that feeling of like, oh, this is like, this sounds like they just was like, let's make something monumental type shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't think like there's a lot. You don't always get that vibe nowadays, just on the simple fact of like so much is like recorded now, put it out tomorrow.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of music, not just rap music, the music period is just like fucking treated like a podcast, dog. Like record that shit one day and then and throw that shit out the next.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think
go ahead. Jinx.
No, but I just think like sometimes there's a lot of dope stuff that we get that's like that. Mm-hmm. But I think like sometimes when you hear like stuff that's like had a lot of thought put into making it is a dope thing, like a dope concept and shit.
I would have rather than like the J Electronica record that we got.
Yes,
I would have rather get, and I understand why he didn't do it this way, because like I make something and I hate it like a month later, if even that. Not hate it, but I don't want to listen to it. If J Electronica would have gave us centered around the song Better in Tune with the Infinite, which I think is like a monumental song.
Yeah.
An important song. If he would have gave us an album built around that of old shit that he had put out, you know, or had worked on, because you know he got songs. This nigga got songs that he made in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? 2017, all of that. I would have taken that and it would have been better probably than him taking, you know, 40 days to make an album with Jay-Z.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know what I mean? I would have rather that. So, you know, I understand the impulse to like make something and then put it out real quick. I've been trying to streamline my process. So whereas it doesn't take me 2 and 3 years to make a record,
yeah,
that was the whole like spares thing and like putting out joints. That those were records that or remixes that I had made over the years, but the whole process of like, you know, doing post production, getting it mastered, and then putting it out,
yeah,
real fast. Like literally, I put out the Outkast flip and niggas liked it so much, I was like, okay, by next week I want to have a whole project for y'all.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or in days, really days, you know what I mean? A whole
absolutely.
Project of remixes, or more remixes for y'all. So I understand that, but with like the J shit and like other shit, you know, I'll take a record that it took you years to make.
Yeah.
You put a lot into it.
Yeah, I mean, even the Baby's new single, Find My Way, it has like a short film attached to it.
Crazy. I haven't peeped it yet.
I've heard the song and I like the song, but like I haven't watched the short film yet, but I plan to. Just because like I appreciate when someone puts that much effort into something.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I think it's important to appreciate that kind of effort. One thing I saw, I think it was the homie, our son, Randy, he posted... like, yo, think about what this world would be without artists right now. Like how we're living right now. Like all these TV shows, all this music, all this stuff, like, you know, that you're, all these books that you're reading, like everything is coming from an artistic creative perspective.
Yeah.
And like what this world would be without that. And like I think that even on a bigger scale, we talk about like encouraging your kids to do artistic stuff and encouraging your kids to be creative.
Yeah.
You know, and not necessarily for monetary reasons, but just because it helps. Like it helps get through shit.
It's a valuable path.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. And that's what's sad about having like art not in schools and music not in schools and shit like that, is because like these valves that would be outlets for so many just aren't being explored anymore. You know what I mean? But shout out to Randy for posting that, because that was super super true. Like, you know, think about that next time, you know, you walk past somebody who's like trying to sell you sell you a piece of their art.
Yeah. Somebody playing violin in the subway or some shit.
Yeah, or even like, you know, like, you know, you got the memorabilia album out there and you're like, you know, like on Bandcamp. Go mm-hmm. support. Like, you know what I mean? I know it's like, you know, times is tight right now with money for everybody, but like, you know, do what you can. Support what you can, and like, it's important, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, it's tight right now. You know, a lot of artists too are losing like a lot of income. I know Randy was saying that, like, he, you know, he was getting ready to do a big tour overseas and stuff with his band Gangsta Grass, and they you know, they losing money, you know what I mean?
Look, I interviewed Randy. I'm working on a piece for the Broad Street Review. Shout out Broad Street Review. And I'm talking to a bunch of different musicians in Philly basically about the gigs that they lost due to the whole virus and pandemic thing. I interviewed Randy. I interviewed the homie Dot, who lives in West Philly. Bunch of people I talked to. Jacqueline Constance. Shout out Jacqueline Constance. And yeah, Randy said they were supposed to go to like Morocco.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know he had a Morocco trip. I wasn't sure exactly when that was supposed to come up, but yeah.
Yeah, it was another joint too, but I can't remember. But yeah, they had all of these events. Dot was telling me that they primarily teach, you know what I mean? Like, they teach people guitar, like ukulele or whatever. And they lost a bunch of gigs. All of their students like canceled, you know what I mean? The lessons, they lost a bunch of like private gigs and shit. So they created like a new business model out of this, where like, say you want to send your lady like a singing telegram or whatever.
As soon as you said that, I was like, oh, that's probably what it's called. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, Dot will come to your crib and just play a song for your loved one, you know, social distance.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be like sitting on the or out on the curb or whatever, and you'll be on the porch, and they'll just like serenade you. You know what I mean? So it's just, it shows how, because honestly, if it weren't for like Netflix and Instagram, niggas would be out in the street. You know what I mean? Like, 100%. This shit would go real left. Somebody be trying to like topple the government or something. It just shows how valuable art is and how 100%. Deeply needed it is. And this, you know, even with all of this chaos going on, this is like the stuff that we turn to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's really important. And, you know, I encourage all our artistic friends to just keep creating. And you know, use this time valuably. And even if even if nothing you do is like monetary in the end for like what you've created during this time, like it's helpful, like just to exercise those brain waves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah, you want to get out of here?
Yeah, we can start rapping. Your memorabilia project is available on Bandcamp, and the B-sides, is that going to go up on Bandcamp too?
Yeah, both of them. Spares, like the unreleased B-sides remixes, are on my Bandcamp.
Okay, that's up already. I wasn't sure if that was up already or not. Okay.
Yeah, I threw that joint up. Motherfuckers buying it. Shout out that's to y'all. Up. You know what I'm saying? And it's, if you want to look it up, it's John Morrison, JohnMorrison, 215.bandcamp.com.
Yeah. Otherwise, you could get like the wrestler.
yeah. Fuck that guy.
That's what comes up. Like, if you go, like, I was listening to the joint that you and Wino Willie did for shout out to Charlie for the little video you did. For memorabilia, and like, I had that playing in the background the other day when I was doing some editing, and I was like, when I first put it in, it's like the first four or five choices are like John Morrison intro music, John Morrison, like it's the wrestler shit. Yeah, so that's up there on Bandcamp. Go support the homie. Also, we have the Abolish Ice hoodies and t-shirts still available at Incense Trap and Yoga. And not only would you be supporting family separated at the border, but you're also supporting a black-owned business, a woman's black-owned business. Shout out to the homie Rhythm. And other than that, you can get us on all the social medias at Serious Rap Shit. You can get me, indi_srs on Twitter and Instagram. You're John_liberator on Twitter and Instagram. Add us. I'm gonna start doing a little more like live video stuff, I guess. I did a little bit before we recorded this just to show people like the home setup. I'm gonna try and start doing some more stuff like that, and maybe like showing some kind of like background stuff for the documentary, maybe something like that.
I think people would like that.
We'll be around, start, you know, trying to do some more stuff for you guys. But, you know, we'll be back next week with the more fire, yo.
Word. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rapture is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.